aprender a quererte. Voy a estudiar cómo se cumplen tus sueños. Voy a leerte siempre muy lentamente. Quiero entenderte para enseñarte a extrañarme. Voy a escribirte mi canción más honesta. Darte una vida con más sumas que restas. Si tú me dejas, no habrá preguntas, solo respuestas. No descansaré, solo quiero tenerte a mi lado, aquí a mi lado. Luego que mi voz te demuestre lo que te he esperado, lo que te he esperado. Antes de estar junto a ti por toda la vida, quiero aprender a quererte. Quiero estudiar cómo se cumplen tus sueños. Voy a leerte siempre muy lentamente. Quiero entenderte.
Quiero entenderte.
Para enseñarte a extrañarme. Voy a escribirte mi canción más honesta. Darte una vida con más sumas que restas. Si tú me dejas, no habrá preguntas, solo respuestas.
No, no.
Si tú me dejas, no habrá preguntas, solo respuestas.
La revista de la semana. Una derrota con oscuras consecuencias. Aunque las encuestas anticipaban el triunfo de la opción rechazo en el plebiscito efectuado el domingo pasado en Chile, el resultado final sorprendió y ha dejado abiertas muchas interrogantes, sin contar a los muchos afectados por el desastroso desenlace. Al final, un 61.86% se inclinó por la opción rechazo, en tanto que la opción en favor de aprobar la nueva constitución propuesta solo obtuvo un 38.14% de las preferencias. El texto había sido el fruto del trabajo de un proceso inédito, no solo en Chile, sino en el mundo. Una convención constitucional formada en partes iguales por hombres y mujeres, la mayoría ciudadanos comunes y corrientes, representantes de la base de la sociedad chilena y elegidos democráticamente en votación popular. Una cantidad de escaños fueron reservados para representantes de las minorías indígenas del país. Cuando los convencionales fueron elegidos, la derecha había quedado en una posición muy minoritaria en ese cuerpo constituyente. Por eso el texto final tuvo un sello que pudiéramos llamar progresista, con una definición del Estado chileno como social y democrático de derecho, con reconocimiento a los pueblos indígenas al establecer el Estado como plurinacional y dejar establecidos como derechos sociales el derecho a la salud, la educación, la vivienda digna, pensiones justas e incluso fijar a la naturaleza como sujeto de derechos en lo que habría sido la primera constitución en el mundo con un sello ecológico. Este carácter progresista del texto fue el que causó las iras inmediatas de la derecha y de los poderosos grupos económicos que veían potencialmente amagados sus intereses. Eso pese a que, al mismo tiempo, la constitución propuesta dejaba establecido el derecho de propiedad, las opciones en materia educacional y aseguraba los derechos individuales de libertad de expresión, religión y emprendimiento. Si se pudiera sintetizar lo que la nueva constitución proponía, podría decirse que era dar un marco institucional a un proceso político que contribuyera a redistribuir la riqueza. Esto es uno, ni más bien dicho esto, en uno de los países más desiguales del planeta. La justicia social era pues el eje central de la propuesta que, en todo caso, para su concreción, requeriría luego de un proceso legislativo para crear los instrumentos legales que permitieran esos cambios. Principalmente dejar atrás el modelo económico neoliberal consagrado en la Constitución de Pinochet de 1980. En otras palabras, se pretendía reparar toda una historia de injusticia, de despojo a los pueblos indígenas, de desigualdades y discriminación contra las mujeres y las minorías sexuales. Principalmente, se buscaba equiparar la cancha para los sectores más pobres de la sociedad chilena. Paradojalmente, sin embargo, y según un estudio estadístico de académicos de la Universidad del Desarrollo, un promedio del 71.5% de los ciudadanos de bajos ingresos apoyó la opción rechazo. Es decir, los pobres de Chile votaron por la opción de los sectores más ricos. En los hechos, en la región metropolitana, la capital del país donde se concentra la mayor población urbana, el rechazo se impuso y por un alto margen en las comunas de más bajos ingresos, con excepción de un par de ellas. Los factores que contribuyeron a la derrota de la opción apruebo son múltiples y podríamos clasificarlas en externas e internas respecto de la opción misma y su significado. Por extrañas, o más bien dicho por externas, entendemos aquellas operando fuera del control de los partidarios de la opción apruebo. La campaña manipuladora de la derecha y de los medios que controla, infundiendo miedo en la población. Esta campaña incluso recurrió abiertamente a la mentira en su intento de distorsionar el sentido y espíritu de la propuesta constitucional. También aquí habría que incluir el factor de políticas del gobierno izquierdista, que no fueron del agrado de la población, principalmente el rechazo a un nuevo retiro de fondos previsionales que ayudaban a paliar la difícil situación económica de muchos hogares. Lo mismo puede decirse respecto de las políticas muy zigzagueantes con relación a la violencia en la Araucanía. En cuanto a los actores internos, estos se refieren a aquellas, o a aquellos más bien dicho, cuya responsabilidad se puede achacar a los proponentes de la opción apruebo. Un error central parece ser el haber hecho el voto obligatorio. Esto en la equivocada presunción de sectores o de algunos sectores de la izquierda que ello haría que aquellos sectores de bajos ingresos que habitualmente no concurrían a votar esta vez fueran a las urnas y votaran por la opción apoyada por la izquierda. Lo cierto es que no ocurrió así. Como el analista político Gonzalo Magner afirmó, ello solo dio expresión a un conservadurismo popular que no vio con buenos ojos propuestas como el derecho al aborto, la igualdad de género y los derechos de las minorías sexuales. Ciertas omisiones en el texto propuesto, como la defensoría de las víctimas de la delincuencia, mientras por otro lado aseguraba derechos a los presos, causó desazón en algunos sectores. Tampoco ayudó en el proceso de redacción misma hechos repudiables, como el de un convencional que mintió acerca de su estado de salud para hacerse elegir, otro que mostró poco respeto al sesionar online desde el baño de su casa, y una constituyente que en un arranque de exhibicionismo mostró parte de su cuerpo desnudo. Días antes, un desconocido grupo musical, estos días antes de la votación, un desconocido grupo musical en un acto proselitista del apruebo hizo gestos obscenos con la bandera. Tonterías, se puede decir, pero que fueron convenientemente explotadas por la derecha y sus medios para desacreditar la opción apruebo. El camino es ahora incierto. El gobierno de Gabriel Boric ha insistido en que se retomará el proceso de dar una nueva constitución a Chile que reemplace la impuesta por Pinochet. Pero, lamentablemente, para ello se debe contar con el concurso del Parlamento actual, donde la derecha controla al menos la mitad de sus miembros, Y ello significará que cualquier nuevo texto constitucional que surja de allí será muy diferente del que se había elaborado por la Convención Constitucional y que, de modo inaudito, la mayoría de los ciudadanos chilenos ha rechazado. The Weekly Review. A defeat with dark consequences. Although the opinion polls anticipated the triumph of the rejection option in the plebiscite held last Sunday in Chile, the final result was surprising and has left many questions open, not to mention the many people affected by the disastrous outcome. In the end, 61.86% voted for the rejection option, while the option in favor of approving the proposed new constitution only obtained 38.14% of the preferences. The text had been the result of the work of an unprecedented process, not only in Chile but in the world. A constitutional convention formed in equal parts by men and women, most of them ordinary citizens, representatives of grassroots groups, and democratically elected by popular vote. A few seats were reserved for representatives of the country's indigenous minorities. When the convention members were elected, the right had been left in a very minority position, so the final text had an imprint that could be called progressive, with the definition of the Chilean state as social and democratic under the rule of law, with recognition of the indigenous people by establishing the state as plurinational and establishing as social rights the right to health, education, decent housing, fair pensions, and even establishing nature as a subject of rights in what would have been the first constitution in the world with an ecological character. This progressive quality of the text was the one that caused the immediate anger of the right wing and the powerful economic groups that saw their interests potentially threatened. This even though, at the same time, the proposed constitution established the right to property, educational options, and ensure individual rights of freedom of expression, religion, and entrepreneurship. If one could synthesize what the new constitution proposed, one could say that it was to provide an institutional framework for a political process that would contribute to redistribute wealth. This in one of the most unequal countries on the planet. Social justice was thus the central axis of the proposal, which in any case, for its realization, would then require a legislative process to create the legal instruments that will allow these changes, mainly to leave behind the neoliberal economic model enshrined in Pinochet's 1980 constitution. In other words, it was intended to repair a whole history of injustice, dispossession of indigenous peoples, inequalities and discrimination against women and sexual minorities. Above all, it sought to level the playing field for the poorest section of Chilean society. Paradoxically, however, and according to a statistical study by academics of the Universidad del Desarrollo, an average of 71.5% of low-income citizens supported the rechazo option. In other words, Chile's poor voted for the option of the richest sectors of the population. In fact, in the metropolitan region, the country's capital, where the largest urban population is concentrated, the rejection option won by a large margin in the lowest income municipalities, except for one of them. The factors that contributed to the defeat of the I approve option are multiple, and we could classify them as external and internal with respect to the option itself and its meaning. By external, we mean those operating outside the control of the supporters of the approval option. The manipulative campaign of the right wing and the media it controls, instilling fear in the population. This campaign even resorted openly to lies in its attempt to distort the text and spirit of the constitutional proposal. Also, to be included here is a factor of leftist government policies that were not to the liking of the population, mainly the rejection of a new withdrawal of pension funds, which helped to alleviate the difficult economic situation of many households. The same can be said with respect to the very zigzagging policies regarding the violence in Araucania. As for internal factors, this refers to those whose responsibility can be attributed to the proponents of the apruebo option. A central error seems to have been made voting obligatory. This in the mistaken assumption of some sectors of the left that this will make those low-income sectors who usually did not vote go to the poll this time and vote for the option supported by the left. The truth is that this did not happen. As political analyst Gonzalo Marner stated, this only gave expression to a popular conservatism that did not look favorable on proposals such as abortion rights, gender equality, and the rights of sexual minorities. Certain omissions in the proposed text, such as the defense of crime victims while assuring rights to prisoners, caused uneasiness in subsectors. The drafting process itself was not helped either by reprehensible events such as a convention member who lied about his state of health to get himself elected, another who showed little respect by sitting online from the bathroom of his house, and a constituent who, in a fit of exhibitionism, showed part of her naked body. Days before, an unknown musical group in a proselytizing act of apruebo made obscene gestures with the flag. Nonsense, it can be said, but which were conveniently exploited by the right wing and its media to discredit the apruebo option. The path is now uncertain. Gabriel Boric's government has insisted that it will resume the process of giving Chile a new constitution to replace the one imposed by Pinochet, but unfortunately, to do so, it might have the support of the current parliament, where the right wing controls at least half. And this will mean that any new constitutional text that emerges from there will be very different from the one drafted by the Constitutional Convention, and which, unheard of, most Chilean citizens have rejected. Good day.
El polvo de ese auto en que te fuiste un día. Me pregunto, ¿por qué si más te alejas más te siento mía? Respirando el humo del recuerdo que robó mi calma. Estoy fumando mientras entra en el cerebro y me desgarra el alma. En mi alma, ya sin pudores, para borrarme la raíz de mis amores. Respirándote, yo corro los caminos sin ningún temor. Respirándote, perdido mi derecha y veo un resplandor, lejano una sirena y ya ningún rumor. Dejarte es el más grande de mis grandes males. Con tanta gente negra, una cosa bella, tú en mi mis funerales. Se va tu pensamiento mientras vas nadando. Estás convenciendo. No todos los hombres valen siempre tanto. Respirando más fuerte, vuelves a la playa. Estás llorando, te entra en el cerebro y te desgarro el alma. Tu alma ya sin pudores para borrarte la raíz de tus amores. Respirándome te viste sonriendo sin soltar las flores. Respirándome arrancas con el auto sin sentir temores. Lejana una sirena apaga los rumores, dolores y alegrías que alivian mis males. Con tanta gente negra, una cosa bella, tú y yo iguales, tú y yo iguales. Que adormece el sol, respirándonos los valles y los bosques y la humilde flor, respirándonos las islas navegando por la soledad, los cantos de la gente a la oscuridad, los cantos de la gente a la oscuridad, los cantos de la gente nueva a la oscuridad.
Y en el fichero latino de hoy, domingo 11 de septiembre del 2022, tenemos entre los anuncios de interés público dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra la COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera vacuna de refuerzo o quinta dosis para aquellos adultos mayores de 18 años. También el gobierno de Quebec ha anunciado que ya está disponible la vacuna para los niños más pequeños, esto es, menores de 5 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clip Santé en francés o en inglés.
Celebración de las fiestas patrias de Chile. Organiza Grupo Folclórico Arcoiris, sábado 17 de septiembre a partir de las 18 horas en la Paroisse Saint-Fabien de Renty, en el 6455 Avenue de Renty. Contribución $20. Niños menores de 12 años, gratis. Para información, llamar al 514-655-7808 o 438-881-8190.
En el apartado publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Universidad de Montreal, esto es en el 3200 de la calle Jean Brilliant, en la librería Bertrand, además, en el 430 de la calle Saint-Pierre, en el viejo Montreal, en el internet, en la cadena Renobré, en la librería Argos, en el 1841A de San Catrín Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, en el 2220 de McGill College Avenue. El precio es de $10 más impuestos.
El tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Principalmente soleado con una temperatura máxima de 27 grados. Para esta noche, periodos de nubosidad con una mínima de 17 grados.
Recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, solo tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica, laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio web de CKUTET en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Es ya la medianoche, se apagan los rumores, se apaga hasta el letrero de aquel último café. La calle está desierta, desierta y silenciosa, y el último cochero, muy cansado, se va ya. El río corre lento, susurra bajo el puente, la luna brilla arriba, duerme toda la ciudad. Solo va un hombre en frac. Lleva sombrero de copa, dos diamantes por gemelos, un bastón de brillo negro, la gardenia en el ojal, el chaleco blanco y un papillón de seda azul. Y se acerca lentamente, su ademán es elegante y su aspecto soñador, melancólico y ausente, sin saber de dónde es ni dónde va, pues quién será, es hombre en frac. Bon nuit, buenas noches. Va diciendo alguna cosa al farol iluminado y a un gato enamorado que maullando al fin se va. Y llega ya la aurora, se apagan los faroles, despierta poco a poco toda entera la ciudad. La luna se ha encantado, suspira y palidece, perdiendo sus colores, tímida se esconderá. Bosteza una ventana en el río silencioso y sobre la luz blanca flotando al fin se van. Un cilindro, la flor y el frac, caminando dulcemente y dejándose acunar. Él desciende lentamente bajo el puente hacia el mar él se va. Pues quién será, pues quién será, es hombre en frac. Adiós, 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 adiós al mundo, los recuerdos del pasado.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes,
our team today,
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces,
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics,
y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
and Romel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
For the latest news from the world of radio, every Sunday morning at 10:30 on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, September the 11th, 2022. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in to our weekly half hour of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived on the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our International Radio Report Facebook group has three new members this week. We welcome Francis, Rick, and Don, bringing us to 837 members. You can join it by searching for International Radio Report on Facebook. Click the Join the Group icon, and away you go. You can participate in the group and read all of the other stories that get posted up there. And recaps of our show as well, the stories that we feature on the program. We also have our YouTube channel where you can go and catch the show again at your own leisure. Just search for International Radio Report on YouTube, and we have 689 subscribers there. We have a lot of information to get to this week, so we'll get things going immediately with a local story. And this is an event that I was able to attend on Thursday evening, courtesy of a special invitation I received from Mitch Melnick, who's one of the on-air personalities at TSN Radio 690 in Montreal. It is an all-sports radio station, and they were celebrating their 20th year on the air here in Montreal. There was an accompanying story to this in the Montreal Gazette this week. The event had been postponed twice and delayed for more than a year because of COVID restrictions. But finally, the party took place on Thursday evening at the Fairmount Theatre complex on Park Avenue in Montreal. It involved a lot of people from past and present from the radio station, as well as a lot of media personalities from Montreal media. Being a sports station, it also attracted a lot of sports celebrities as well, some of Montreal Canadiens, Montreal Alouettes football team members, and various people connected to sports and journalism and media in the city of Montreal. It went on quite long, started, I think they opened the doors at like 4:30 for VIP guests. I left at 11:30 in the evening and it was still going strong. So it was quite a party, introducing people, welcoming people, thanking people that have been with the station over the years, past and present. But what was really interesting was three Lifetime Achievement Awards that were presented to three people in the media in Montreal. One, Mike Farber, who some of you may even know as a national and international columnist. He did sports columns for Sports Illustrated magazine, ESPN in the States. He also did work at TSN, Montreal Gazette. He'd been involved in a lot of different media, writing articles and features on sports. So one went to him. A second one went to Ron Roosh, who was the former head of the sports department at CTV Network in Montreal. Finally, to Pat Hickey, who is a columnist who covers the Montreal Canadiens hockey team in Montreal. So they were all presented with awards. There were a number of different artists performing concert sets at the event. One that was really special included, if anyone familiar with Bruce Springsteen's band, his late saxophone player Clarence Clemens has a nephew who lives here in Montreal, Jake Clemens, and he had thrown together sort of an R&B revival band. And they came out with the whole Blues Brothers outfits and the whole works and did a whole bunch of Motown hits and Stax record hits and that sort of thing. So that was really fun as well. They did invite myself and two other people on stage to thank us for presentations that we gave almost 10 years ago when it was threatened that TSN radio would disappear in Montreal. We appeared at the CRTC hearings in Montreal to try to encourage them to allow Bell Media to own four stations in the Montreal market, where the regulation initially only allowed three stations to be owned by one company. Apparently, our efforts at those hearings helped the decision of the CRTC to change the regulation, and TSN was able to carry on and carries on to this day, 10 years later. So they wanted to thank us for our efforts on that, which was really nice of them. I wasn't quite sure how much impact our appearances had, but apparently it did have quite a bit of influence on the CRTC decision. So we were quite happy to hear that. And we certainly got a lot of thank yous from a lot of people at TSN Radio in Montreal because of that. So thanks to Mitch Melnick and his team for putting the event together, for inviting me to go there. And it was a great evening meeting a lot of people in the Montreal media, and in particular people with TSN Radio in Montreal.
So there's a report from Radio Today via Mike Terry UK. It says that almost every radio station in the UK suspended normal programming around 6:30 p.m. on Thursday to announce the sad death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. The Queen died peacefully at Balmoral on Thursday afternoon. Radio station had been on standby for obituary mode following news of the Queen's medical condition was announced at 12:34 p.m. by Buckingham Palace. Confirmation of her death came via Twitter and the news wires at exactly 6:30 p.m. The UK's largest commercial radio groups followed well-rehearsed procedures to break the news to listeners. Global brought all of their stations together to rebroadcast LBC after each brand announced the news separately. Each Bauer brand joined for a networked breaking news bulletin followed by a toned-down playlist and presenters looking back at the life of the Queen. All BBC radio stations joined up for a networked BBC news special on a clock start at 18:36, with BBC Radio 4 and 5 Live breaking the news individually at 18:32. Other radio groups, including Nation and Wireless Independent Stations, Community Hospital, Student, and Online Services, broadcast the news and paid their respects by playing more laid-back music mixed with occasional news announcements. Emotional announcements were made on talk radio and on LBC. The first national radio station to break the news, according to research provided to Radio Today, was Times Radio at 18:31. And, of course, there was extensive BBC coverage. In the United States, the NPR broadcasters pretty much all started relaying the BBC feed directly. We have a radio-related audio clip. So it's the Princess Elizabeth broadcast to the nation on Children's Hour in 1940. That's 82 years ago when she was 14 years old.
My sister, Margaret Rose, and I feel so much for you, as we know from experience what it means to be away from those we love most of all. To you, living in new surroundings, we send a message of true sympathy, and at the same time, we would like to thank the kind people who have welcomed you to their homes in the country. All of us children who are still at home think continually of our friends and relations who have gone overseas, who have traveled thousands of miles to find a wartime home and a kindly welcome in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and the United States of America. My sister and I feel we know quite a lot about these countries. Our father and mother have so often talked to us of their visits to different parts of the world. So it is not difficult for us to picture the sort of life you are all leading, and to think of all the new sights you must be seeing, and the adventures you must be having. But I am sure that you, too, are often thinking of the old country. I know you won't forget us. It is just because we are not forgetting you that I want, on behalf of all the children at home, to send you our love and best wishes to you and to your kind hosts as well. My sister is by my side, and we are both going to say good night to you. Good night, children. Good night, and good luck to you all.
First time we heard Her Majesty the Queen on radio.
There's going to be extensive coverage over an extended period of time. The procedures that are going to be followed for a funeral and of the Queen. So I think if you're looking around for information broadcasts, certainly BBC World Service, I think, will be dominated for probably the next couple weeks at least, I think. We have our Canadian International DX Club, our nationwide radio club here in Canada, is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. We were formed in 1962. And we have an event taking place out in Alberta in Western Canada, starting on Friday, September the 16th, running through Sunday, September the 18th. We're going to have a lot of different events, some of them radio related, some of them touristy things and whatever for different people that have never been out to Edmonton before. But the radio events, we're going to try to make some of these, tie them into things that people can monitor on the radio as well. During the 2 days, well, the 3 days of the event, we will be activating our amateur radio club stations again. Here in Quebec, we have VE2AQP, which, Gilles, you'll be operating on the Sunday on 20 and 40 meters from 2000 UTC to 0000 UTC. So that'll be on Sunday, September the 18th. And we'll be posting up some messages as to, you know, where you might be on the bands and that sort of thing. So you can watch our International Radio Report Facebook page or group. And we also have a Canadian International DX Club Facebook group that you can look into as well. We will be activating the Alberta station, VE6SWL. That will probably be sometime on Saturday. We'll be posting more information up about that. We don't know exactly what time we'll be doing that. Keep a watch on the on our show page and on the CIDX Facebook group, and we'll post up some information about some of the events that you might be able to log into and or listen to. And if you're a listener, you'll be able to monitor them, and you can send in reception reports and get the special QSL cards that we have as well. You'll see all the information about what's going on in your CIDX bulletin, which was issued for September just earlier this week. We hope to come across some of you on the airwaves out there.
United States Special Event Station N3U/FLT93 for the United Flight 93. This is via Southgate Amateur Radio News. Look for the special event N3U/FLT93. To be activated once again between September 9th and 14th to remind amateur radio operators worldwide of the tragic events that happened near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, New York City, and Washington, D.C. on September 11th, 2001. This will be the 13th year for N3U and this memorial operation. Bob W3BTX informs OPDX N3U was first activated in 2010 and has continued every year since. We also ran a special Aruba call, P41 USA, for special years, but COVID-19 got in the way. Activity will be on all bands that are open at the time, using mostly FT8, FT4. There will be some CW and SSB, and there's QSLs available via the club call sign W3PN, special 911 call sign. That's also via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. Station WA2NYC is a remembrance of the 21st anniversary on the attack of the World Trade Center in New York City. We remember that over 2,900 souls that were lost on that day. The stations will operate between 0 Zulu September 11th until 03 Zulu September 12th. Suggested frequencies are 28450, 21350, 14340, 7238, and D-Star Reflector. XLX020B will be monitored at the top of the hour. If you would like a QSL card, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the club address for the Wireless Association of New York City. We'll post the details.
There may be other activities going on that we're, you know, that we haven't received notice of, but I think a lot of radio stations too will be commemorating the date as they do every year. So there may be special broadcasts that you'll hear as well.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, this week the sun is more quiet than in the previous few weeks. So we've had some quiet conditions mostly. We have a few sunspots. For the rest, the solar flux is, of course, around 127, the sunspot number is 72. There is no coronal hole to, make conditions a little worse during the week. So things should continue to be quiet in the next few days. But the best way to really know what's happening, actually, is to turn on a radio and listen.
I'm Thomas Witherspoon of Asheville, North Carolina, and you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We have some, I guess, surprising news and some pretty interesting news. I think a lot of people will be happy to hear this. Of course, we talked about last year, World Radio TV Handbook issuing its final edition for 2022. Well, things have changed. This comes from several sources reported to Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The World Radio TV Handbook to return for 2023. The next edition of the world's most comprehensive and up-to-date guide to broadcasting will be published in December 2022 in both a printed and a digital version. The Dictionary of Global Broadcasting was published by WRTH Publications Limited until 2022. The rights have now been transferred to the Radio Data Center, GmbH, based in Freising, Germany. After several decades as a book, the World Radio TV Handbook, the Directory of Global Broadcasting, will now be available as a web app. The directory is an indispensable reference for interested radio listeners, avid DXers, and all those who move professionally in the world of radio, said Gunter Lorenz, founder and CEO of Radio Data Center, on September the 8th, 2022. We are pleased that it will also be available online as a web app from December 2022. The Radio Data Center was created in 2012 to provide professional data delivery and services for broadcast radio-related business and industries. Gunter Lorenz had founded FM List, the world's most comprehensive and up-to-date database of FM broadcasting, already in 1986. It went online in 2005 as fmlist.org and was soon followed by MW List, its counterpart for medium wave and shortwave broadcasting. Oliver Schmidt is CEO of RDC and chairman of the board of UKW/TV. The organization that owns FM List and defines their work, which extends the community-supported databases to professional level as being cartographers of the global radio landscape. So you can check out more about this on wrth.org and radiodatacenter.com. So surprising, but I think really good news for the radio community out there.
Good news also that they will have some form of digital aspect to it. It's not clear if it's the whole book in digital form or more of a way to complement the book, so you'll have an online database maybe.
We're going to have to make more space on the bookshelf here now to expand again. We thought we were finished. So that's a nice story.
So we have a story that is just like breaking news almost. It comes from Italy, where there's the planned Rai Italy medium wave transmitters that would be switched off. And of course, there's concerns that are expressed here. So Rai intends to turn off the medium wave radio broadcast starting September 11th. That's today. 2022. This decision will also include turning off the medium wave signal of Radio Trieste, which broadcasts radio programs for the Slovene national community in Italy, as well as the Campalto facility from where comes the signal of the radio program of the RAIFVG. The president of the Italian Union, Maurizio Tremel, said on behalf of the organization representing the entire Italian national community in Croatia and Slovenia, the radio broadcast will be transferred to web platforms. He disclosed that in recent days, he has appealed to Foreign Ministry Luigi Di Maio and Undersecretary Benedetto della Vedova, as well as the Undersecretary to the Presidency of the Council of Ministers Department of Information, so that they express the concern of the Italians of Istria, Kvarner, and Dalmatia. It's, you know, particularly affecting one part of the community, the Slovenian minority community here. So the impact of the announced end to medium wave radio transmissions in Italy on the Slovenian minority and efforts towards a solution were in the focus of a meeting between Minister for Slovenians Abroad and Italian Ambassador to Slovenia on Friday. So, you know, it creates a little bit of a problem here. You know, not everybody has and goes to the web for radio and for information, and not everybody is tooled to do so. So removing some of the medium wave is a concern right now. So it's sad to see that another country is trying to slowly get rid of its medium wave transmitters.
Yeah, this, we looked up the, in the WRTH, a perfect lead-in with the WRTH story, which lists all the domestic stations in each of the countries as well. And this does seem to be only the public broadcaster, RAI, their medium wave stations that are being closed. There are private stations throughout Italy, but this closure not only affects the Slovenian community for that one radio station and transmitter, but the Italian population as well, because those stations cover the whole country in different cities on medium wave. I'm assuming that those transmissions will all be going to web-based as well. They do have extensive FM networks throughout Italy, but again, these medium wave stations have wide coverage, they're higher powered. The signals certainly travel much further.
Yep.
We hadn't heard any word about this happening in Italy until just this story breaks.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the day that it's happening, practically.
Yep.
Very odd.
There's good news, though, on the side of Congo, where there's new Chinese shortwave transmitters. This story actually comes from something that I just came across, which is a French language radio group that actually really talks mostly about what's happening in the French side of radio. So in Congo, the first shortwave transmitters in Congo Brazzaville were installed in the Second World War. It was a gift from the United States. And in reality, it's that the United States wanted to kind of have a sphere of influence to balance out with the BBC being a dominant radio broadcaster also. There was a second transmitter that was offered by Belgium and installed at Leopoldville, and this was a RCA 50 kilowatt transmitter. On May the 25th, 1960, following the independence of the country, Radio Congo had three shortwave transmitters, one of 25 kilowatts and two of 50 kilowatts. They were transmitters made by France, and they were installed at Pointe Noire. The transmitting center of shortwave at Jouy that existed since the 80s, in 1989, Congo was helped by Germany, and the French transmitters were replaced by Telefunken 100 kilowatt transmitters. Unfortunately, because of the events that happened in 1997, the transmitters were damaged and they weren't able to really turn them on again. So in 2003, they kind of had a small transmitter with only 1 kilowatt. But because of the low quality of the signal, they needed something else. And now it's the Chinese government that is helping out the Congo. On August the 30th, 2022, Chinese experts gave transmitters at Martin Sanga, which is the director of the Télédiffusion du Congo, new shortwave transmitters. The work to install the transmitters antennas took 2 months, and the transmitter has a power of 50 kilowatts. Télédiffusion du Congo will be now capable of having a signal, a decent signal, across the territory. And they really needed that because they're saying that Radio Congo, Chaîne Nationale, had a lot of difficulty covering the whole country with its FM transmitters. So Radio Congo will be on. There's no times, but we'll probably see them pop up on the schedules. But on a known frequency for Radio Congo, Chaîne Nationale, will be on 6115 kilohertz.
People have already been reporting hearing French language broadcasts on that frequency. They didn't know at first what they were because there wasn't really much fanfare about this happening. It just kind of popped up. So this confirms that it is Congo back on the air. So you can look for them on 6115. Check all the spots for DX stations and what have you. And as you said, we'll probably see a schedule of some sort published. We should look around for that, I guess. But definitely some people have already heard this on 6115 kilohertz.
I see that on the EIBI space schedules. They're reported kind of officially from 06 to 8:30, 16 to 18, and 18 to 18:40, and irregular from 05:15 to 06 UTC on 6115.
With 50 kilowatts on the west coast of Africa, I remember when we had a lot of West African stations on shortwave, we used to receive them particularly on the eastern part of North America, quite well in the late afternoon. Yes. And then again, as getting towards sunrise in Africa, where we still had darkness path here. So definitely worth checking out and tune in 6115. If you hear some French on there, good chance you're hearing the new transmitter from Congo.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We have some QSO parties and a couple of other events going on. The first one is the Texas QSO party, 1400 Zulu September 17th to 2000 Zulu September 18th. That's organized by the Texas DX Society. It is all HF bands except the warp bands, but also 6 meters and 2 meters, and it's an all modes contest.
There's the QRP A-Field, 15 Zulu to 21 Zulu, September 17th, organized by the QRP Club of New England, bands 160 through 10, modes CW, SSB, AM, PSK, and more.
The New Hampshire QSO party, 1600 Zulu, September 17th to 2200 Zulu, September 18th. That's organized by the Port City Amateur Radio Club, 160 all the way through 70 centimeters, phone and digital modes.
There's the Washington State QSO party, the Salmon Run, 16 hours Zulu, September 17th to 2359 Zulu, September 18th, organized by the Western Washington DX Club. Bands are 160 through 6 meters, no contacts on the work bands, and the mode is phone and CW.
And we have the New Jersey QSO party. It's a busy weekend for QSO parties. 1600 Zulu September 17th to 0359 Zulu September the 18th, organized by the Burlington County Radio Club. It is 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters only. CW, phone, and digital modes.
There's the Wisconsin Parks on the Air, 16 hours Zulu to 2300 hours Zulu September 17th. Organized by the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club. Bands 75, 40, 20, 15, 10, 6, and 2 meters. SSB, CW, and FM.
And finally, if you like radio teletype, the North American Sprint RTTY, 0100 to 0400 Zulu September 18th. It's organized by the National Contest Journal. It is 3 bands only, 80, 40, and 20 meters in the RTTY portions of the band. And that is the only mode for this sprint. It is radio teletype.
And we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning in. We'll post links to all of these stories and links to all of those upcoming QSO parties and contests on the air. And if you have any questions or comments for us, any stories to pass along to us, you can do it by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, or you can post it directly to our Facebook group, International Radio Report. We thank you for tuning in. We will probably have a special edition next week, as we'll be at the CIDX event out in Alberta. So we will probably do a live recording from there for our show next week. So that should be interesting, give you some idea of what's going on out at the 60th anniversary of the CIDX Club in Edmonton, Alberta. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Rappelons que vous écoutiez Radio Congo, la station nationale de radiodiffusion qui est née de Brazzaville.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I wanna tell her that I love her a lot, but I gotta get a belly full of wine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm gonna make her mine, oh yeah. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she never does a thing for me. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she keeps the worst company. All her lords and her ladies in waiting, all crawling in the dirt like swine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but I hope she's the end of the line, oh yeah. I hope she's the end of the line. Her Majesty's living in a land of curtsies, a world of bluish blood and Nazis. She's a pretty nice girl, but I think she ought to call it a day.